in these days is to draw nigh unto God. If you can just get close to God, it sure will help you. And I've noticed this, it'll help those around you. Oh, how we need Him in these last days. The Bible said in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word of God. Father, we love You. So we thank You for this time together. Lord, I need the Spirit of God to preach through me this morning. Lord, I have tried to give myself the best I can, the best I know how. And I pray now You'd use me to be a blessing to Your people today. Help us in the Word of God like only You can help us. I pray You'd save the nearest one to hell today. Would You deal with their heart? Save them by Your amazing grace. Would You challenge the Christian? God, would You give courage to the discouraged? We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. This morning, out of the book of Joshua, I want you to notice, first of all, out of chapter number 1, there's a painful assessment. A painful assessment. I've noticed this, that life, that time doesn't stop for anybody in this life. I've noticed that through this life, there are many changes that are made. Many changes come to our life in our everyday living. Changes comes to our home many times. As we raise children, things happen and children leave. And so a lot of times maybe your marriage struggles and there's things that changes in your home, in your life. I've noticed that changes come in the secular world, even into your jobs. Changes come. I've noticed in the church that lots of time changes will come. But here, I want you to notice just a little bit about this painful assessment. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." Moses probably was one of the greatest men, no doubt, that ever lived in this world beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I don't know if there's any man that ever walked that did any more for God that while God had His hand upon him. There's some maybe 3 million Israelites now. They've just experienced their great leader pass off of the scene. They were in Egypt in deep bondage. And of course, Moses had went up into Pharaoh and told him to let the people go. And so Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And God gave all those plagues to Pharaoh and to Egypt. And Moses led those children out of bondage with a very high hand. He came down to the Red Sea, and those people had seen Moses step out and had seen the power of God on his life, how God had parted that Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. The children began to be hungry, and God allowed it to sort of snow every night. Manna from heaven fell. Bible called it as angels' food. And God fed the millions across that land out of His heaven. I'll tell you, our God's not changed on that this morning. God's still feeding all of His children out of heaven. Moses had went through many things with his people, and now all of a sudden there's a painful assessment has happened. Have you ever noticed in life there's some painful assessments that happen? I would love to tell you that you'd never have a loved one die. I would love to tell you that somebody you had the most confidence in or the one that you had the utmost respect in wouldn't pass off the scene in your life. But I will remind you, the God that allowed Moses to pass off the scene, He had somebody else to step in His place. I'm glad that our God is not a debtor to no man this morning. Now, you'll notice this painful assessment. Moses has died. You ever notice in Deuteronomy, turn to the left, chapter 34, about the death of Moses and how he died? This is an amazing story. And I think we can take some great gleanings out of this morning on this thought of this painful assessment. In Deuteronomy 34, just turn left in your Bible a little bit. The Bible said, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. Moses went up into a high place. He showed him the land of Judah," verse 2, "and the utmost sea." Verse 3, "the south and the plain, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees to Zoar. The Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go thither." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulcher unto this day. Watch this. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Now, isn't it amazing that as Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage, that God, through their father Abraham, had given them a land, had given them a place, and Moses was leading them out, and God took Moses up and let him look out to the promised land. And he said, "You look all out yonder." He said, "You can look, but it's one problem. You can't enjoy it because you've sinned before God." Boy, wouldn't that be terrible to live a whole life up to the end and rebel against God, disobey God, and that would keep you from enjoying the blessings of God. Can I tell you, right living, there is a payday for right living. And God may not always pay off on Friday, but God will always pay off because He's debtor to no man this morning. Now, I was interested in Moses and why God wouldn't let him go into the promised land of Canaan with the people. God took him up on this high place and let him look. I want you to notice that Moses did not rust out and he did not rot away. He climbed up a mountain. His eyes were not dim. He was a man of 120 years old, still of good shape. But God kept him from going into the promised land. I wonder what would keep you from going to the promised land this morning. Now notice, I want to say that in Numbers 20, and let's look at the issue that kept him from going into the promised land. God said, I'm going to let you look at it, but you can't go over into it. Wouldn't that be awful to be able to see it and not be able to enjoy it? Mom and daddies, wouldn't that be something that God would give you a family and He might let you look in upon it, but something would keep you from enjoying it? May God help me as a Christian to not only be able to see my blessing, but God, I sure do want to enjoy my blessing. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things in our lives that can keep us from enjoying the blessing from the hand of God. We hear about people just doing anything and living any kind of old way. But I want to say something. I'm not promoting the law so much this morning. There's nothing wrong with the law. But let me tell you, a man will never go wrong living right. I want you to notice what God had told Moses in the book of Numbers, chapter number 20. Let's go there. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 20. And let's notice this story now where it picks up. The Bible simply said in verse 2, there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle die there? Verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Now watch the Bible, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. It shall give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to meet them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. He said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and he smote the rock twice. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. He said, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation in the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and He was sanctified in them. Now let's look at Moses' sin in a snapshot and let's take a look at what caused Moses from getting into the promised land or getting into the land of Canaan. We know that we get under to heaven by the blood of Christ and that's the only way we're going. But let me tell you folks this morning, it does matter how we live, where we live in order to enjoy what God has given us. Now notice this, Moses sinned, number one, by verse 11, by disobedience. The Bible said that he lifted up his hand with his rod and he smote the rock twice. What was wrong with that? God told him to speak to the rock. Did you know the first time that they were out of water, God told Moses, He said, you take your rod and go smite the rock. And when he did, water gushed out and fed the whole congregation. But this time he tells him to speak to the rock. Can I tell you why he didn't want him to hit the rock again? Because the first smitten rock was Christ on Calvary. And friend, Christ can only die one time. You cannot put Christ to death again. The Roman Catholic Church has got it all wrong, neighbor. You'll look in their church and you'll see Christ upon a cross. But I got better news for you than that this morning. Honey, there's a lowly grave over yonder in Jerusalem where our God got out of the grave. I'm glad the smitten rock, He gives the drink of eternal life this morning. And he said, Moses, that rock can never be struck again. Let me tell you, we don't serve a Jesus on a cross. We serve a God that's sitting on the right hand side of the Father, making mediator for me and you this morning. He's the go-between between God and men today. Oh my, we see his disobedience. You know something? Disobedience will cause you from enjoying the blessings of God. You know, I'd hate to know that some of you, me included, had worked as hard as we worked to have the blessings of God, but yet God wouldn't let us be able to enjoy the blessings of God. I know a lot of men have raised families, got them right up to where they could start enjoying things, and they disobeyed God, and now they cannot benefit in the blessings of God. I know some men that has built a business. They've done well. Success has come their way. They've got too big-headed, too big for their britches. They've disobeyed God, and now they cannot enjoy the fruit of their labor. May God help me as pastor at Liberty Baptist Church that I'd always obey Him. Whether you didn't like it or you did like it, whether I didn't like it or I did like it, may I say God has to have the preeminence, and it does matter if we obey the Lord. Disobedience kept him out. You see, a man's got to be obedient with God in order to enjoy the blessing of God. And then this painful assessment, not only his disobedience, but his denunciation. Look in verse 10. He didn't even claim kin to him. You know what he said? Let me tell you, Moses has done had a belly full. And I'm going to be real careful to say I can't get there because I know I can get there. But I want you to look on this denunciation. All of a sudden, he said this. He said in verse 10, he said to them, "Hear now, ye rebels." Well, and then you'll notice that anger flew up. He said that, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" It's easy to be angry. You know, anger has messed up a lot of places. Anger has messed up a lot of lives. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7, and verse number 9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." If you're one of high temper today, you better realize you better not let that anger rest in your bosom, because it'll make a fool out of you. You say, "Well, I was raised old-fashioned, and I'm very hot-headed." Well, I stand in that number this morning. But I've had to realize this anger that can get in me can cause me a lot of trouble this morning. God help me with my anger. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." In Proverbs 16 and verse number 32, I can tell you the problem with most churches and most marriages has to do with anger. Proverbs 16, verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You mom and daddies, you should never jerk up a young'un when you're angry and go to disciplining them and knocking them and whipping on them. You better be glad your heavenly Father don't jerk you up by the hair of the head, slang you down through the floor, and beat you unmerciful. Hey, ma'am, you better get a handle on your anger. Sir, you better get a handle on your anger this morning. Your anger will get you in a whole lot of trouble. And so we also see something else in Psalms chapter number 37 and verse 13. Psalms 37 and verse 13. Psalms 37, verse number 13. I've noticed, let's read in verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You ever motion for a car, maybe pulled over in front of you, and you motion for them to pull over, and by the grace of God they didn't pull over, or you'd got in a whole lot of trouble. I remember riding with Renee's daddy one time. I want to say this. I was a young man just moved and just married Renee and was going to Carrollton. He had about a little 70-mile pickup truck. He was a carpenter, a brick mate. There's a man cut him off the road. My dad-in-law done some kind of motion. This young boy throwed his hands up, pulled his truck over. My dad-in-law pulled that little 70-mile Chevrolet and opened up the door. I started open door. He said, "Ain't no need for you to get out." And he reached under his seat and he pulled out a handsaw. He started walking toward that young boy, and that boy got back in his car. Amen. Well, what do you say? Well, the grace of God kept him from cutting his head off that day. We better realize that anger will get us in big trouble. This is an amazing thing I found studying this morning. I'd heard it, but I really didn't know where it was in my Bible. Look in Numbers 12 and verse number 3. I want you to see it. Numbers 12, verse number 3. There's so much preaching in this thing of Joshua, I don't know if I'll ever get out of it. Numbers chapter number 12, verse number 3. Look what it says right here. Now, I want to remind you before I go much further in Joshua, it's all about the life of battles. Let me tell you, they come out of Israel, they come out of Egypt from bondage. They come out to face great battles. And in your life and my life as a child of God, we're no longer in bondage. But we all experience great battles. Look what it says here about Moses. He says, Numbers 12, verse number 3. This is amazing. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses sinned in his strongest area. What are you saying, preacher? Well, he is the meekest man in the whole earth and he lost it. His anger got him in trouble. Let me help you as your preacher today. Let me help you. Is everybody listening now? I'm not going to preach much longer. Help me. Let me help you right here. You may be real big on taking care of something in your life, and you may think you got it conquered, but be careful. Be careful, because you'll find out what he found out. You're human. And I'm going to give you the best advice any preacher can give you preaching. There are lusts that come to us. There are temptations that come to us. There's the flesh, the world, and the devil that comes to us. And it's a continual battle. It's a continual struggle in this Christian life. I don't understand these people go around singing that they got victory in everything in their life. I don't. But I do have victories. And I sure am glad there's a God of a Bible can give you victory over your situation this morning. But you be real careful. Just because you may think you got a lid on it, the devil can pry it off. meekest man on earth, and he lost his temper. He said, "You bunch of rebels. What's your problem? What you belly aching about?" He said, "I've heard enough of your whining." What he didn't know, he was just as human as they was. Amen. His disobedience. And then we see his denunciation, "You rebels." But look at this back now. Let's go back for us. In Numbers 20, and let's look at his issue that kept him out of the promised land. Numbers 20. We got a lot to learn here this morning. Numbers 20. Let's get back to where he struck that rock, Numbers 20. And let's look now. Not only was there disobedience in verse 11, denunciation in verse 10, he denied them. But look now in verse number 10 what he said. Did you catch it? "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, 'Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock?'" There's dishonor. You know what he is saying? Hey, I tell you who's running this outfit. It's me and Aaron. He said, "We got to get water out of that rock." Honey, they could have talked to it all day. They could have hit it all day. If it wasn't for the God of heaven, there was nothing coming out of that rock. Let me tell you, this thing ain't about us. It's about Him. There's not one family runs this church, as far as I know anything about it. If you do, you're trying to do it behind my back. That'll take you out there on that oak tree and teach you a good lesson for the glory of God. Somebody shake your little Baptist head up and down right there. Let me tell you something. God's to get all the honor and all the glory out of this outfit. He said, "Me and Aaron, we got to give you water. I'm glad it ain't up to me to give you water. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that still gives His children what we need in this day and this hour." Be careful. Don't go to getting thinking too much of yourself. "Well, this church can't do without me." Let me tell you, sir. Let me tell you how quick this church can do without me. You take a bucket of water. There's a man told me this one time when I got promoted so I wouldn't get big-headed. He said, "Ken, you always remember this. How long it'll take them to replace you? You take a bucket of water and fill it up. You run your fist in there and you pull it out. And just as fast as that hole filled back up, that's how quick you can be replaced." Shake your little Baptist head up and down for me this morning. I've been preaching down Louisiana. My neck's hurting. They've been shaking their head way up and down. We've done this. Let me get something real clear before we get any further. We ain't done nothing. It's a God of heaven has smiled on you. "Hey, sir, that money in your bank, you think you've done that? You ain't done that. God snap His fingers, get everything you got by daybreak." Let me tell you something. If there's any bragging to be done, we better be throwing our little Baptist hands toward heaven and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to me and my family. God, you've been good, and I can't do this without you." Moses had great clout. Matter of fact, God had used him in a way he had never used nobody. Can you imagine them folks, Moses standing there, and God parted the Red Sea for him and walked across. Can you imagine the kind of respect them 3 million people had for that man? But isn't it amazing how we can do things in our life that will keep us from experiencing the blessings in the promised land? Isn't that amazing? He was disobedient. He struck that rock. He was dishonoring. Verse 12, he had disbelief. "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron," he said, "because you believe me not." I wonder why you stopped believing. He said, "Because you believe me not." Disbelief has caused you not to get to where the blessings of God, where you could enjoy them at. You would think a man that had seen the hand of God would have great faith. It ought to be our heart every morning that God would increase our faith. But we need praying faith. We need to trust God in our prayers that God can. My wife said something about maybe one of the weaker characteristics of her daddy, but let me tell you a greater trait. He's fixing to go have surgery this week. He's been trying to sell this truck he's had, and he's told Renee, he said, I've been asking God to sell this truck before I go to the hospital, and I won't have to fool with it. He said, I've really been asking God. Renee walked in Friday, and he said, you know, I've really been asking God to sell this. She said, well, Daddy, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, you know. Yesterday, a man said, I think I want that truck out in your front yard. Boy, I wish we could pray with faith. And Jesus said, if you just pray and believe, He said, you've yet to see what I can do. You know, a lot of times we look in a situation and we forget that it's God. It's God that's behind everything in our life. You see, there's the painful assessment. But now, you know, I want to say something maybe to some of you. Maybe I'm saying to your preacher today in Moses' life, don't let up at the finish line. Man, God had done rain quail out of heaven. God had done field. I studied it one time. I've forgotten the number now, but it's something like thousands of boxcar loads of manna fell every morning to feed over them 3 million people. Moses had seen the sea part. He had seen everything in his life. Mom and Daddy, let me tell you, don't lose sight of the finish line. Church, pray for your preacher that I wouldn't lose sight of the finish line. Young people, pray for your mom and daddy that they won't lose sight of the finish line. I want to finish right, and I want to enjoy the blessings of God in these last days. I'll ask you something, and I'll just let you be the judge with the Bible. If Moses would have obeyed God, God took him up. Listen, he wasn't on his last leg. He climbed the mountain. He could see. He was man still of pretty good health. If he would have obeyed God, could you imagine when he crossed Jordan, Brother Mike, with Joshua, how he could have enjoyed the promised land? You listen to me, Mom and Daddy. Some of you have been married 30, 40 years. It ain't no time to throw the towel in now. It's time to keep your eyes on the finish line. Some of you young people, things has happened to your prior marriage and you've started over. It's no time to throw the towel in now. Keep your eyes on the finish line and go on for the grace of God. Hey, some of you, you've gotten sin and God has picked you back up. Failure's not final this morning. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Oh, it scares, I don't know, but it ought to scare you to death. To think that as hard as you've worked in this Christian life, the way God has blessed you, and all of a sudden you disobey God and it keeps you from getting into Canaan's land. I'll be honest with you. God in days past has blessed your preacher like not many people has ever been blessed in finances and in business. But I've never had the money that can buy me what I've got this morning and my grandbabies and my children and my church that I pastor. There's no money that can buy that from me this morning. Sat in a church with a choir singing and the Spirit of God move and people throwing their hands and tears flowing. You do need a church to go to. There is a God that it pays to serve this morning. I don't want to throw it in now. God help me. Oh, Lord. Hey, Brother Mike. I'd hate to know that, just let me preach to myself, the devil wear me out on the way home. I'd hate to know that I pulled in this parking lot 10 years down the road. This wing was built. God's saving people left and right. And I couldn't be here and enjoy the blessings of God because I disobeyed Him. I'd hate to know that you couldn't enjoy your grandchildren the way me and Renee enjoy ours because you disobeyed Him. It does matter to serve God. You hear me this morning? It does matter. You say, preacher, I ain't got enough money in the bank to buy nothing. Well, you eat today. You've got exactly what God said He'd do. He said, the birds of the air, they toil and spin not. So they're not worried about nothing. He said, enjoy the blessings of God. Let me tell you, sir, the pasture's not always greener on the other side of the fence. The devil's a liar. The devil is a liar. Before I started preaching this morning, the devil tried to discourage me some of it. But let me tell you, I'm very encouraged right now. You're in trouble. I'm very encouraged. Does this sermon make sense to you? I didn't get this out of a book. God's put this in my spirit. I've never seen this. God, help us to love you and stay true for you that we can enjoy the blessing down the road. I'm not just working for today. Brother Randy, they teach you in your business to build bench strength. Bring up people that can take your place and do what you're doing. We've invested a lot in this church in teachers and preachers and missionaries to help us. This thing's not about us. It's about Him. This is all I'm going to preach. Sister, come sing that draw near for me this morning. You see, you may think that that one decision you make and it be all about you, it may destroy your future blessing in a way that you never thought. You know, I'm praying, God, give me wisdom, give me guidance, help me, give me protection, give me power in my life. There's young families all across this town. They're splitting. You know why? They're so self-centered and they're living for today. But let me tell you something, by the grace of God, you're going to get old one day. And you're going to need somebody that you can enjoy the blessings of God. I just want to ask y'all something, and I want to ask if you ever seen this, because I hadn't until now. Can you imagine? I'm not preaching law this morning. We're saved by grace through faith. But I'm talking about the decisions in our life that we make. Brother David, you and Brother Mike have been with me a long time. Can you imagine Moses 120 years and God lets him get on a high place and look out yonder what he could have had if he had just stayed true to Him and obeyed Him? God took his life. 120 years old. And let me tell you something. God loved Moses. He loved him. He loved Moses. But God had given him a word. And God could only react upon the word that He had given. Let me tell you, God loves you this morning. But He can only do what that word says. He can't go against His word. I'm glad when we failed Him, He's forgiven us. There is forgiveness. I want to ask you something right quick so I can get my point across now. If I do something and destroy my home, I can get forgiveness, but there's repercussions. You hear me? Am I preaching right? There's repercussions of the decisions I make. Help me to think about what I'm doing. Sister plays all around the house. Would you come draw near to Him today? Oh, God, help us to enjoy the blessings of the promised land. Help us to obey You and help us, God, that the things we think we've got under control, help us, God.